Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It will be a fight.
And there'll be a lot of death, unfortunately.
It will be a fight we will win.
But a lot less death. But there will be death.
People should be actually kept out of the country for at least 28 days.
America is not prepared.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Battlefield Effect podcast for another episode. I believe this is episode 34. 35, 34, 35, who knows? It could be any of them. There are a plethora of episodes to catch up on if you haven't done that already. And you can do that on Spotify, on iTunes, or on YouTube, wherever you want to do that. And if you can't consume a big, long podcast in one shot, there is the Battlefield Effect Clips channel with all the best clips cut up into little bite-sized sections. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get started in this podcast, this is just very exciting. My brand new comedy special, Anti-Hero, is now out on my website, isaacbutterfield.shop. Go and check that out. And I'm getting very nice reviews, which is really, really cool. That was the culmination of about 80 or 90 shows last year, and it was the best work I have done to this point in my career. So I'm really happy to share it all with you. And producer Connor, who works on a lot of projects that I've worked on in the past, he had a big hand in it, and the prelogue or the film before the actual special. He was very, very handy in it, and a great little director there, young Connor is, and we're working on some other really cool stuff as well. So go and check out Anti-Hero. I was really, really proud of it, and I'm writing new stuff right now, ready to tour around, hopefully at the end of this year and hopefully next year as well. Hopefully they're going to be a big tour next year. If all the restrictions are lifted, but we shall see. That remains to be seen. But now, ladies and gentlemen, today's podcast was with a gentleman that I've only met a couple of times, but we've had a bit of a chat, and someone who I've been watching for a long time. This dude, I think I probably first saw him when I was maybe in year 8, and he's been around for a very, very long time and has stayed as a pinnacle of the YouTube and Facebook and Instagram community in Australia. And he has been in movies. He's been on the radio. This guy has been in the hearts and minds of Australians for a long time. It's time to welcome to the show for the very first time, the loosest Aussie bloke, Alex Williamson. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing?
Good to see you, Sam.
How are you, Bruce?
I thought I was going to be original with like having a whack background, but you're way ahead of me.
This is the bunker, mate. This is where it's at. This is where it all happens.
Fucking hell, you're going to give me a stiffy, not as big as his, but get, you know, right up there.
Mate, that is confronting. Like, the stiffy that this man produces is extremely confronting.
Well, here's a thought. Imagine being like on your knees, you know, in front of that as well.
That's daunting. You know,
kind of like how they shoot the ominous bad guys in films, like from below.
100%.
Like they love looking down, like make them look scary. That's him. Yeah.
In the movie Deep Impact, which I'm pretty sure he probably starred in the poor version. But when the asteroid hits, everyone's just like, that is the face you would pull if this big fella came to town.
Oh, yeah, fucking oath. Yeah. And I think he does do porn. Is that the idea?
Yeah, like he's a gay porn star. He was a meme.
I wasn't sure if he was just like he found fame, like he's just like a big, ripped, sort of just average guy that works in a coffee shop and got the cock out one day and it went viral. I wasn't sure if that was the story or if he was, that's his thing. Like getting his cock out is his thing.
How do you go from pouring soy lattes to fucking soy boys? Like, how does that happen? Like, you can't be that big making coffees. It doesn't happen like that, I'm sure.
Nah. Well, fuck, he's made it. I hope he's, like, getting some cash somehow.
I think he's like, dead. He's dead.
Get fucked. Do you know how he died? He got a stiffy and too much blood went to his cock. And his fucking heart stopped.
He turned white. He looked like a top deck. Half of him was white, half was black. The blood drained from him. What's going on, you big dog? We're recording, by the way, obviously, if you couldn't tell.
That's great. No, that's great.
How you going?
Not, well, I've got, as I mentioned earlier, I'm punting on some footy this arvo to get me through. Weekends are good for that, you know. It's a good bit of downtime, except when they're fucking losing. So if you see me checking my phone every now and again, just checking to see if the Hawks are going to beat Melbourne. That's what I'm looking for.
That's okay, brother. You do you, all right? You do you. So what are you doing? You're locked down. Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Adelaide, man. Right. It looks like I'm in the fucking Antarctic there, but nah, in Adelaide, son. It feels like it at the moment. Man, you know, it's pretty shit. It's pretty cold down here. Everyone's got this image of Australia, you know, of like bronzed cunts running down the beach in their undies. I'd fucking get hypothermia in fucking Adelaide if I fucking did that.
I've been down there. I've been down there in winter. It is cold, bros. It is very, very chilly.
Hey, not as cold as the bunker, mate. She looks chilly down there today.
There's no insulation. Don't worry about that. It's freezing down here. So tell
what
me,
you got in the fridge?
Huh? What have we got in the fridge?
Two body parts? I'm just thinking body parts straight
There's
up.
There's a head in the freezer for sure.
Yeah, that's
that was the thing like with Ted Bundy, right? So I think it was Ted Bundy, one of the serial killers that had, you know, heads in the freezers and stuff. And I've been wondering about this for a while. Like I'm writing a bit on it about them at the moment, about like bad guys, like chicks are into like the bad dude. Like back in the day.
Well, they are.
It was the dude, right? He was wearing like a leather jacket, had a cigarette behind the ear. And now it's really bad guys like the Ted Bundys who are having sex with severed heads. Like that's who chicks are into in 2020.
It's like that's given them nowhere to go in 50 years. Like what's the next thing after Ted Bundy? Fucking dead people. Like, Jesus Christ. They'll find something, these chicks.
I really hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah, same. but it's funny how like what is that? Why is that the case? Like, Do you reckon before some of them get murdered, they're a little bit wet?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it was then, but particularly now when girls look back and they watch the Netflix series. But it doesn't happen with dudes. Like, there's no dudes out there that are, like, getting hard-ons over that chick who drowned her four kids in the lake. Like, that, no one.
No.
It's not happening.
Ted Bundy could be, like, stabbing a bitch, and then he's like, yeah, I fucking got her good. Like, I can feel her, like, hot blood. And he's like, oh, no, she's squirting. Like, she just loves getting attacked.
That's so fucked up. That's great. I love it. Yeah, so what are you doing? You're not on stage, obviously. Have you been getting up?
You know, one thing I'm doing is the Twitch thing, which has been fun. Right. It gets a lot of hate online. And when I say Twitch, I'm okay at some games, but it's more just me sinking a fucking couple bottles of red and just, you know, going back and forth with the fans and shit. It's fucking fun, man. It's making me a fucking severe alcoholic, but, you know, for the fans, man, like always for the fucking fans.
You got to do it for the views, bro. And I've been...
Have you thought about that yourself? I mean, because you do heaps of interactive shit with fans, so like you're right on track for that.
But I did Twitch for a bit, and then I don't know. I sort of just spent. I did a couple of different things. Like I started a second channel, and then I thought, I might just spend all my time focusing on producing, you know, 3 or 4 videos a week. I thought that was like,
It's working for you. Fuck
yeah, man. Yeah. Well, that's what I thought was probably the best move for me. To put the time into things that I actually enjoyed. I didn't mind Twitch, but I'm not much of... Are you playing games on Twitch or are you just talking?
I like to think I am, like, but it's sort of, you know, quite often I'll get people logging on going because I've said Rocket League or Rainbow Six. I've titled the stream as a game and you get these people just joining from other countries going, what the fuck, can't you just sink and piss with your missus? Like, you know, this isn't Rocket League. Oh, fuck, sorry, mate, I'll change it. Just chatting.
Your missus does it with you.
She gets involved. She gets involved too, mate. Yeah, she gets involved. Yeah, that's been quite funny. But you know, we've had a few blues on the stream. That's quite funny. Yeah, it happens, mate. It happens.
What are you blueing about on stream?
There was one time, right? One time in particular, I got upset because someone gave me a little bit of hate, and so you can't really just straight up tell someone to kill themselves on that thing on Twitch. So I had to sort of tiptoe around it with it, like, oh, I don't know, I used a few cunning sort of fucking metaphors here and there to sort of really vividly describe what I wanted to happen, but I left myself with an out. You know, I always give myself an out, like, oh, I was talking about that though, obviously, just so if the moderator said it. But then she was pissed off at me. So she said, she sort of threw me on the bus. I was like, you fucking told me he's going to want him to kill himself. And I was like, get the fuck off my street. And she didn't talk to me for about 2 weeks. So yeah, it can't happen.
I'm like that now. I used to beat around the bush with shit when you you're talking shit to someone or someone's rude to you. I used to be like, oh, fuck off or whatever. And now I just plainly go and kill yourself. Like
brutal stuff. Yeah, same. Can't be fucked anymore. Can't be fucked. But that's Twitch is a good interactive thing I've been doing because what you said before is this is before the fucking with the pandemic with coronavirus. Now we can't really do the stage thing so much. I'm trying to get back on stage. Like fucking, I was slated to do Melbourne in fucking September, but they've just gone full fucking New York style.
Yeah.
So
Melbourne at the moment is disgusting. It is ravaged, absolutely ravaged with the corona. Everyone's fucked up.
Yeah, I know.
He's got the flu. It's all happening.
Yeah, man. And I was pretty fucking. I remember I was pretty bored during that when we did the full on lockdown. So every now and again, I sort of think of Victorians. I'm like, oh fuck. I'm just out at a pub or something. Like, oh, those cunts are fucking doing it. Ah, fuck them.
Man, yeah. I went out last night, right, for my birthday, and there was probably about 200-300 people at the pub. Everyone's having a great time, but it's about to get locked down again. Everyone's freaking out. But, man, I think today in Melbourne, it's now the law that you have to wear a mask when you leave the house or you get fined at $200.
I read that.
So that's different. That's new, Like, it's a changing world down there. It's a whole new sort of kettle of fish, if you will, because
Are you still in Newcastle?
I'm still in Newcastle.
Yeah, good, man. Yeah, it's a nice little fucking. You got a little bit of a bubble there, away from
We do.
That's why all the ferals just fucking gather there, don't they?
Where we live
in the Newcastle. Yeah,
I love Newcastle because you can go anywhere in the country or the world, and everything's weird. Everyone's trying to impress each other. I think Adelaide's pretty similar, but you go home and it's just a little bubble,
Yeah,
and that's what I love about it.
I had a quick bomb there, dude. What do I do there, man? I went to some fucking chocolate restaurant. Shit, it was had some good fucking... Everything they serve was fucking chocolate. Do you know the one?
Cocoa Someone Monday. Looked at me.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I've been there a few times. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Mate. But yeah, Adelaide, there's nothing really to rave about really going on here at the moment, mate. I'm just sort of pulling my dick, and I guess the internet is the... that's the thing that's sort of blown us up, so it's convenient that we can just carry on doing this right now. I mean, you see a lot of... there's a few... Few comedians Goxie, a few cunts who definitely would have got that, fucking it all swept out from under their feet when this all hit, all the Melbourne shows and when
good.
Melbourne,
good. Fuck Goxie. He's a fucking idiot. fuckwit. Man, there's a lot of people who are in that position where they look at people like you or they look at me and they just go, oh, these cunts, they're on the internet, they're not real comedians and all that type of stuff. And mate, this is if you are a comedian, you're thinking like that, or you want to be a comedian and you're not putting the time in online, you are wasting your time. It's just a waste of time.
I've often thought that too, but it's funny. It seems to have taken the pandemic for most of them to fucking realize that and cop that fucking baseball bat in the back of the head. Because you say it'll happen, same all turn into it now.
It's great.
It's like they had to be forced. Like through a fucking pandemic when it was literally, and I'm sure it's fucking going gangbusters for some of their careers out there around the world, whoever's turned to the internet in this pandemic, and now they're translating their shit that they've crafted on stage for 10 years. They're good comics. They're good at what they do. And they, just got to get these video making, these editing skills are really important. These sort of skills. And then fucking away you go. The world's your oyster. TikTok, fucking Instagram, YouTube. Yeah. Millions on, mate. All these fucking
you
apps. Could
reach, how many people, if you're doing open mics in Melbourne, how many people do you reckon you could perform in front of in a year? Maybe, 1,000 if you're lucky?
Yeah.
You can do that in the first 30 seconds of a video if it goes well. This is the world we're in. If you want to entertain people, you've got access to it. It's a fucking right here in your phone or whatever you got, your computer, your laptop, whatever you're doing. And you can access the world. Like, mate, I mean, I first started watching you. I first started watching Shooter when I was like, year 8, year 9. And you were everywhere. You were in. I remember you doing, the Hollywood interviews on the red carpet and shit back in the day. And, mate, you have forged a career for yourself. And
it's funny. Like, when I think about this sometimes, like, I've always, when something's sort of, I've always been pretty good at jumping on the new fucking fad. and trying to fucking get in early and, you know, pride myself on being a boy from the country who shouldn't fucking know a thing about how to fucking edit and how to, you know, use this stuff. But I prided myself on trying to get in there and get that done first. And I remember my friend after year 12, there was nothing like YouTube. I'm 32, so I graduated in 2005. In 2005, if we all wanted to watch videos, we were all searching for videos on the computers at school. You had to go to these weird fucking sites and they'd have like 12 MP4s that would like take like half an hour to download each. These like 30 megabyte clips of like cunts getting hit by cars and stabbed and shit and broken legs skateboarding. And we fucking sit there all day just watching them on repeat like 7 fucking videos. Then you find a new site. And eventually someone thought of this fucking idea, right? YouTube to be like, hey, let's just like stream it, put them all there and everything. So this cunt showed me YouTube in 2006 after I graduated year 12. And he's like, have a look at this. It's like this site for, you know, videos and stuff. And I took a look. The first video he showed me on there was a fucking journalist in like the Philippines getting chased by some gorillas and then stabbed to death. I was like, I like this site. That's how ruthless. That was YouTube before like they sold it to fucking Google and shit, you know? So I was like, oh, this is pretty brutal, but I'll upload some of my stuff on there. And when I say my stuff, like I'm talking the weirdest shit. I don't know if you did weird shit in high school with the camera. I'm talking like I'm lip syncing Breaking the Habit by Linkin Park. And like, I've got this weird story where I'm like injected with a serum and the FBI and oh God, really embarrassing stuff. I hope it never gets seen.
Why don't you just break it out? Break it out and react to it. That's the go. Everyone's got shit in their past they hope doesn't come out. But I mean, that's something that you've actually recorded with a camera. Like people would enjoy viewing that.
Yeah. There's another one I did with a couple of fellas. It was quite funny. We realized we'd forgot to do a whole video clip project for the whole fucking term. It was like the last day. And media studies was nothing where you just fuck around. We're like, all right, let's grab the camera. We went and lip synced. Girls just want to have fun and just threw bark at each other. Got to be. That was the video. So you can get away with murder. Media studies.
Mate, it set you up for a quality career. We're talking before about Twitch, about how you deal with people who are carrying on in the stream. I recently saw a video of you, how you deal with hecklers. Say it again.
When they really push me, I try to fucking not really snap back, you know, with too much to say. I try to politely tell them to just shut up and just let the show continue. That's if they're being a bit sort of drunk and like slurring their words, as I am now. If I was to yell out at a show now, fucking spray me. Yeah. But yeah, I give them a few chances. That would particularly annoy me because I don't know if you know, like when you play like a bar or something, and it's not like a theater where there's like an usher, like there's your seat, sir. And it's like, it's all seated and everything. Like, no, it's just like cunts crowded around the bar. Cunts in like Goulburn, we were. Cunts who like see Maddie from fucking South fucking Goulburn Footy Club, who they haven't seen since last week, and go, there's Maddie across the bar. They forget they're in a fucking show and they start just chatting. Like, yeah, it was last week. Yeah. Big groups of them, you know, you see these spot fires appearing. You're like, fucking, it's like the naughty kids at the back of the fucking room. I was a high school teacher. It's like the naughty kids at the back of the class in the darkness, mate.
You were a high school teacher.
I was a high school teacher as well.
What were you teaching?
Yep. Well, media studies, English studies, visual arts. But really, most of the time I was running off and hiding in the fucking, where they teach the special ed kids and just drawing. Just by myself, I blood so much. Definitely stood me class up a few times there. Sorry, guys. I see them down the street. They come up. They still call me Mr. Williamson. And I'll be like smoking a ciggy out the front of the casino at 4 a.m. I'm like, don't call me that.
So what happened with that bloke in Goulburn? Because I know he pushed you and it was on. What happened? You walked off the stage.
Went up there. Do you know what's funny? I think maybe he was just so incoherent and he'd been on a bunch of Xannies and painkillers and everything. So he was all I could see when I approached him, he was all over the fucking place. But the boys, I think everyone just sort of threw him under the bus as the cunt to just take the fucking blame. Poor fella. I went up, I smacked his fucking hat off. And he swung his bottle real. It was like slow motion. I thought it was just slow motion because that's what happens in like when there's like one of those really instant adrenaline months. But no, he actually went like, and it got me a bit in the ear. But then they just threw the cunt out, and I must have just been particularly aggressive that night. I would have gone home and busted a big nut at the Goulburn fucking hotel at the fuck up. That's for sure, mate.
Sprayed the sheets. Beautiful.
In the caravan park, just sleeping head to toe with my manager. Nah, I wasn't really.
Oh, fucking hell. I mean, but you know, I've had that. A few people like get up and they try to get on the stage or throw glasses and shit. And I mean, people just they're just not used to having someone abuse them. And I think a lot of people need that. Like I had a chick in Perth after the Perth Fringe Festival, and Kyle Legacy, who's an MC that gets around, he's a British fella. And he teed the crowd up to not laugh at anything. I arrived late and he teed the crowd up. He said, do not laugh at anything he says, no matter what he says. Don't laugh at him at all, he said. And so I got up there and there's this chick just staring at my eyes. And I've just done like 6 or 7 sold out shows at the Fringe and it's going well. Last night finished and I'm telling jokes that I know work. And she's just staring at me, just going, not funny. Tell us something else. Try again. All that type of shit. And I just said, I looked at her, I said, in front of 200 people, I said, you are the biggest cunt that's ever lived. Fuck you. And she's just, her friends can't believe it. She's just like, I've never been called a cunt before. And I was like, no, you deserve it. This is what I'm saying. You need this in your life. You need to hear that you are a cunt lady, all right? That is the truth of the matter. And she's freaking out. And so I get off the stage and then Kyle gets up there. There's a bit of a melee going on. People are getting the shit. She's pointing at me. Her boyfriend's got the shits. And he's going, oh, it was just supposed to be a joke. Everyone wasn't supposed to laugh at you, Isaac. And I was like, fuck it. I've just made an absolute dick of myself. I can never go back to Perth again because this bitch wants me. And, mate, I love crowd interactions. They make the night. You know what I mean? Like, it just makes it for everybody.
Well, it's funny to think that they can, like, give it out, but don't think don't even think they should receive it back. Like, they're shocked. They're like, like, you're giving it back. Like, what?
I know.
I wasn't expecting. Like, how could you? Like, and in such a vile manner, calling me a cunt. Like, all I did was interrupt repeatedly. Like, fucking, like, whoa, what the fuck? It's and you're right. Some people need, like, you know, there's all this anti-bullying stuff out there. But you know what? Fucking kids need fucking bullies. There's fucking some kid on fucking TikTok I saw. He thinks he's a little hot kid. Just like all his videos, him sort of posing and smiling and licking his lips and stuff. And I'm going to comment on there eventually saying, listen, mate, like, you need a bully. Like, you need this, you need someone telling you now you're a fucking shit cunt. Like, I feel otherwise you're just going to keep rolling through that, keep doing that as an adult and stuff. Like,
he needs a father. Right. Yeah, He needs a father figure to physically abuse him, to pull his head in.
I'm not going to read him a bad time story, but yeah, I'll physically abuse. Yeah, fuck it.
And not sexual abuse. I'm just talking like a fucking clip around the ears or something.
On the note of being vile to fans and stuff, there was one. I remember my missus had been at the whole run of Melbourne when I saw you, Melbourne last year.
Yeah.
And I'd done the whole run. It might have been the last show, and she'd flown back early. Anyway, there was some fucking zannied up fucking bitch in the front row. Oh, what did I do? I fucking kicked my jacks all fucking over her. Like, I had a cup of fucking jacks sitting on the floor. She was in the front row. She was standing up. She was incoherent. La, la, oh, fucking, oh, I'm from my fucking seeing you before. I'm like, what are you doing? Sit down. Apparently called her a fat cunt. I don't remember that. But in the heat of the moment. But I fucking booted the fucking glass. Yeah, it was a plastic cup of Jacks. It's still pretty rough. You know, I booted the plastic cup of Jacks. Jacks just went all fucking over her. And her friend. And then she's like, my friend's there, I wanna go. And her friend's like, oh no, I'm not fucking going, I wanna stay. You know, that whole thing. It's like, oh no, you gotta go. Like, this cunt can't even stand. Walked out. Anyway, I most people thought I got a bit of a Nelson Mandela like applause, even though I kicked a jacks on a girl. And
so a Nelson Mandela applause.
from about 75%. But there was a couple of girls, I didn't know, but as I was leaving the back of the Athenaeum Theatre, there's a car full of girls there who are at the show, and obviously didn't appreciate that, although me calling a fat cunt kicking me drink. Driving past in their car, you're a fucking cunt, Williamson, whatever. Orange light. at the fucking right at the town hall there. That little one line, that little one line straight there. Boom, stop that guy there. Windows down. I just had the biggest fucking puff. This was on about fucking 85 clicks, this vape. You can't see it. There you go. Biggest fucking puff and filled their whole fucking car up. They're all fucking coughing. Got the fuck you, cunt. Cloud coming out of their fucking car. Just got it in one window, the driver's side window. They were stunned. You know, they thought they could just call me a fuckwit. They didn't think I'm crazy. They didn't think I'm going to come over and fill their fucking car up with vape at the lights. I did. I fucking did.
So you come to see Shooter Williamson live. You get physically abused with kicking glass at him. You get bloody your hat hit off. You get verbally abused. And then you get hit with chemical abuse out the front.
And there might be a sausage sizzle on the door. Who knows?
If that doesn't sell your next tour out, I don't know what fucking will, mate. That's fantastic. I mean, like, but that's the thing. Like, in real life, you know, people are used to the internet. You can say whatever you want. Nothing really happens. Yeah. Like, we know with Twitter, you know, you got a million trolls on Twitter. But the best or the my favorite version of the shit that you've been through on Twitter that for some reason I joined in with was the stans, the fucking K-pop the fans. BTS. The BTS fans. So, for anyone who doesn't know, BTS is a K-pop group, a real famous over in Korea and shit. And what happened? They were attacking someone.
Oh, they were attacking Nick Cody on a show.
Right.
Just because they were just poking fun at this K-pop band, just because obviously boy bands are a gimmick.
Yeah.
And it was all a big joke. And there was nothing. And they transformed that into it being xenophobic and racist because they're 14-year-olds. And I guess that's a big word to throw around. Xenophobic's a massive word to throw around. They were throwing that left, right, and center. And it really, to be, and you know, as an adult assessing it, obviously it was all in jest. There was nothing racist about it. And they got really upset because I said, I think I started my big spiel towards them with like, fuck up, you cunts. And I think that really, like, they were shocked to hear that. You know, cunts are, we throw that around heaps in Australia. But like, you say, imagine saying fuck up, cunt, to like an American Karen from like the South. Fuck up, cunt. They'd just be like, you know, they'd have a heart attack, man. It is an aggressive thing. So that set them off on this tirade, which was just all them, you know, threatening me and abusing me. And ironically, probably doing all the things that probably BTS encouraged them not to do, like cyberbully or whatnot. So it was all very, very funny.
It was massive, though. It was huge. They went fucking nuts, man. Like, I jumped on there. I saw you getting attacked, and I was like, I want a piece of this. This is fun. So I made a quick video, like a 45-second video of, like, me saying, I'd never listened to one of their songs. I just said, BTS are the worst band. They're full of shit. They don't write their own songs, yada, yada, yada. And that video, I jumped on a plane to the Gold Coast, and I think that's like a 50-minute flight from Newcastle. When I landed, it had 400,000 views from people just attacking me, these crazy 14-year-old Korean kids just going nuts. And they were just like, we're going to find you, we're going to kill you, we're going to do all this shit to you, we're going to bring you venues, man. I had someone in Adelaide, I don't know who it was, someone in Adelaide rang my venue who I was performing at the Fringe, or just some little veranda bar. And they rang the venue and said, Isaac won't be coming tonight. And this was my show. Like, it was sold out. And they're like, what? And they started ring a picket, like people who bought tickets started to ring them saying their show was canceled. Just some random person just rang up and said the show's off.
That's crazy, man. As a backlash from that as well, I had to cancel a New Zealand tour as a backlash because two of the venues were like old 80-year-old fuddy-duds who had obviously received a bombardment of emails from the same 15-year-olds, you know, saying there's going to be like, I'm going to bring bombs. I'm a racist. You know, or like everything. So they had to, out of a security concern, I think mostly for the bomb threats, they had to, they pulled the pin on that too. I was like, that's really shit. That's a shitty fucking consequence for me. Like, from nothing really for that. So I copped that, but it was a funny, in stark contrast, my gig at, where's Frenchie from? Wollongong. My gig in Wollongong. I was supposed to be there around the same time as New Zealand. So we rang them just to check, be like, fuck, they've obviously been bombarding all the ones on sale. these are the only ones. So rang the Wollongong venue, and the cunt's like, oh yeah, they've been emailing, mate. What are they going to do? Bring their little fucking Hello Kitty backpacks, mate? Fucking swing them at us? That's what the cunt said. So the show went on there, no worries. But yeah, mate, that was all sorts of shit was going. It was funny because they were the classic type of trolls that you just sort of talked about, the ones that are, you know, a bit of venom on the fucking timeline there. But, you know, if they saw me on the street, they'd like scatter. Like, you know, the Jawas in Star Wars, the little Jawa people in the dead, they just like scatter into the caves. If I, like, me, big man, walked over, they just run away. But yeah, so all talk. But you know, they're just fucking, it seemed really threatening for a while until my girlfriend, cause we were on holiday in Bali and we're like, it seemed threatening until it really dawned on us that they were just 14-year-olds with all talk. It took a good hour and a half of, you know, constant to be like, is this a thing? Cause I had my manager ringing me going, mate, what have you done? Like, they're trying to fucking, boycott Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy Barnes was on Frontier. Jimmy Barnes, they went to the Frontier site. Who's got a fucking tour with Frontier coming up?
So your management company was Frontier, and they went to their website, all the stands, all the BTS people went to their
Jimmy
website.
Jimmy Barnes is the first one coming up who was up touring next. So they sent a million emails to his venues. And Taylor's like, mate, they're trying to fucking cancel Jimmy Barnes. I'm like, fuck, sorry. I've never met the cunt in my life. I don't know anything about him, but fuck, sorry, cunt. But he wasn't happy. But I was like, what am I supposed to say? I didn't fucking do anything. Like, this is the most, like, he's just collateral damage in the most fucking random attack.
And they are like, they're vile creatures, the stands. They go hard after people. And for no reason, creatures. Like, if you took 5 minutes to realize that you were doing it to get a response out of people, I was doing it to get a response out of them. And they did exactly what, like, we wanted. Yeah. The fact is that they go so far to the point where they start ringing sponsors and venues and just carrying on. Like, I'm lucky. I don't have any, you know, I wasn't touring at the time. I think it was just before Melbourne. So you can't really call up and get Melbourne cancelled. But you were touring. Yep. It was tough for you. But I think I've had a couple of venues. I think in Canberra University is one of them. They had their student government body or whatever. They said, listen, we don't want this racist on our campus, this sexist on our campus.
No, really?
Yeah. There's a couple other ones too.
That's not a bad venue, the Canberra Uni. I think that's the one I've played a couple of times. Yeah.
I did it last year. It was great. And everyone was cool. Yeah. The lady who runs the show, very nice to her. She was a nice lady. And then she rings like 6 months later saying, we can't have him back. He's a sexist. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Weird. That's weird. You'd think they'd fucking change that attitude pretty soon, mate. Fucking hell, Buttsy. Get in there, mate.
There's nothing you can do.
Just go rogue and stand on a milk crate on the Oval with a fucking megaphone. Just go rogue. Mate, start doing your own.
Well, mate, I'm actually doing something this week, this Wednesday night in Newcastle, that's going to be a bit full on, right? So I'm desperate to get back on stage. I haven't been on stage in 7 months. And so the only thing I can really do at the moment, because I've been writing, I had a show ready for Melbourne, never happened. So I sort of went back to the drawing board, tried to make it better. And so I'm going to an open mic night. I haven't been to an open mic night in like 4 years. So I sent a message to the lady who was running it. And I said, hey, listen, my name's Isaac, yada, yada, yada. And I said, can I get like 15, 20 minutes? So I can just do a quick set. Just to workshop some material before, in a couple of months' time, I go and do a few trial shows.
She
said, yeah, sure, that'd be great. No worries, we'll put you on as the headliner. And then she goes to this this chat that all the Newcastle open mic comics are in. There's probably about 30 of them. And she goes in there and she says, oh, Isaac Butterfield's going to headline the show that they're doing at this place. And then the heat just hits hard. There's this one chick, I can't remember her name, but she's hammering, Brooke or something. She's hammering me, saying, fuck a Butterfield, he's a sexist piece of shit.
What?
He thinks women aren't funny, yada, yada, yada. And then all these people start piling on, going, fuck him, he can't go in here. He's been talking shit about Newcastle comics, this. And
no,
the thing is that I'm in this chat group because I was in it 5 years ago. I've always been in it. And I'm just like getting these notifications and me and the missus are reading it just going, this is fucking hilarious. I've got no idea that I'm reading all this. So they're going off and she starts talking about this video that I made about, it's called Why Women Aren't Funny. And what it is it's a video that you know, obviously that's an inflammatory title, but yeah. In the video, what I'm referencing is an article from Christopher Hitchens that is talking about the reason that men need to be funnier than women, or need to be, and this isn't, you know, this isn't saying that women aren't funny at all. There are funny female comics, yada, yada, yada. It's a law of averages here. Being a man, it is more advantageous for you to be a funny person because women are attracted a lot of the time to people who are funny, that can make them laugh, that have a good personality, right?
Yeah.
As for men, it's sort of you look at the looks first, that sort of thing. That's what sort of plays off first when it's
traditionally.
Yeah. You know,
that's what Hollywood and popular culture have done. You know, we didn't, Marilyn Monroe, there's a scene where she's reading a book upside down. He's like, "Oh, love, you're doing that wrong," but she's looking hot. Her tits are out. Like,
doesn't matter. Exactly.
Trade is stupid but hot, always through history. And so that's obviously rubbed off on men in one way or another.
That was the article I was referencing. It wasn't saying that women weren't funny. It was just saying that more often than not, men find it more advantageous finding a mate to be humorous. Now, she's taken that, saying that I hate women, et cetera, et cetera. So I go through, I'm driving in the car and my missus films me just saying, they don't know I'm in the chat. So I thought I'd just hit them with a video. And I just went for like 45 seconds. I'm like, "G'day guys, how you doing? Just thought I'd reach out and tell Brooke to suck a fat dick. I'm actually in this group. How you doing? Listen, all I wanted to, I tried to play the big guy. I was like, hey, if you want to have your little open mic night, you can have your little open mic night. I'd love to be a part of it, but I understand if you've got your little club and you want to jerk each other off, okay? You can do that, all right? You can go and suck each other off. I don't really give a fuck, but I'd love to come along if you'll have me. Anyway, bye." Anyway, so they all dropped dick immediately after that. And they're like, "Oh no, you know, I just disagree with some of the things you've said," and I just didn't respond. But the thing is, in Newcastle, and I don't know if this is the same when you first started doing stand up, as soon as you become slightly successful, and by slightly successful, I mean when I got my first gig in Sydney doing 5 minutes for free at some joint. Mate, all these open mic comics fucking hate your guts immediately. And it is strange. It is strange. It's like, I didn't do anything to these people and they fucking hate me. So, so I'm getting up on Wednesday night. I'm pumped in front of about four people. It's very exciting.
Good lad. John, well, I just, on the note of like, you know, your thoughts on the local scenes and stuff. I mean, I remember, as I said, I was probably 2007, 2006, I was doing the Adelaide comedy scene and stuff. And yeah, like all these local comics, like they've never lived out of Adelaide. They're like, they were like 38 at the time, like, and like been doing Adelaide comedy for like 12 years. And it was depressing, man. It was a real, it was like, honestly, depressing is the most like accurate word, I think, to describe it, because I was on my way saying, waving goodbye to them, going like, I'm just starting to get views on the internet. Like I just had a taste of this for like a year and a half, 2 years, from 18 to 20. And it's like, I'm out, guys. Like, good luck. Like, that. It's like they don't even, yeah. It was a grave. It was like when you go to a really nasty old strip club, it's like the graveyard for porn stars. It's like the old one. It's that sort of level of depressing. And, geez, I mean, and that's just Adelaide. And, you know, that might be Newcastle too. I know scenes are a little bit more vibrant in Melbourne and Sydney, but I think there's still a bit of that depressing. I think that's just the funny thing about open mic nights. There's a depressing aura to them, isn't there?
There is.
A bunch of couple of people forced to be there to see their friend. It's So
it's never,
good luck,
it's
man.
Never you're gonna
I'm sure it's going to be a great crowd, man.
I'm looking forward to it. The last show I did was in the Gold Coast with 700 people, and now I'm going to fucking the Wicko in Newey in front of seven people. So we'll see how it goes. But, man... On that thing, on the whole topic of open mics and comedy scenes, I mean, people who, there's a lot of comics that talk a lot of shit about the Melbourne scene and just said, mate, there is no funny young comics coming out of Melbourne. Like, they are just dog shit. Like, there's just nothing. Like, these people, and I haven't been there. This is from people who have been there. It is the most PC shit culture, and they are the most boring cunts that have ever lived. That is the thoughts coming out of Melbourne right now. And that is what will happen. This is what's going to happen. Because you're never going to see Alex Williamson or me on the fucking, on Channel 10 on the gala. Never going to happen. Have you been on the gala?
I haven't. I just don't think about why that. I just don't even want to put
You're not going to be there. You're never going to be on the gala. I'm never going to be on the gala. Because you push boundaries. You tell jokes that are funny. These people are the most boring pieces of shit that ever lived, and they deserve to die the rotten death that they will on the ABC.
Well, the TV feels like it must feel like prison, like being in these Channel 10 shows and, you know, these contracts and, like, not being able to speak your mind. Like, it must feel like not being able to tweet what you want because you've already got a boss who's then got a boss who's got another boss. Yeah. Like, nah, man, I'm my own fucking boss. And that's how it will always fucking be, man.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, it's like...
Well, I couldn't think of anything worse.
I feel like it's boot licking. They're just licking the fucking boots of cunts when you're sitting there in the suit on the fucking TV. But having said that, we should produce something for Netflix or some sort of, you know, something like that eventually. You know, some series or something. That's a different kettle of fish. But when you're just licking some cunt's boot in some fucking panel show, man, that's not for me anyway. Good on you if it is for you, but that's not for me.
No, not good on you.
Yeah. Yeah, not good on you.
It's a terrible move. Sell your soul for 30 grand a year. Get over yourself.
Yeah, and it would be depressing. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, when they refuse to do this stand-up online, or they refuse to do any content online, they can't sell tickets. They can't sell tickets anywhere but Melbourne. Melbourne and maybe Sydney.
Yeah, that's right. Nah, that's right.
That's tough.
We are walking proof that it fucking works, cunts.
Yeah. So what's
we're telling happening? Them, we're pleading with them. It works. And they're still just sitting there, just going back to Channel 10.
Don't worry about it. Now, tell me this. What's next for you now with the corona? You're playing with the Twitch. What else are you trying to get done?
Shit, man. What else am I doing? Oh, I'm going to be fucking my friend, one of my, well, friends with both the lads from Peking Duck, but one of them, Ruben, wants me to come over and just get in the studio and because I'm writing the music and stuff like that, man. So maybe collaborate on a little fucking song with them if I come to Sydney sometime soon. Yeah. Music's another, yeah, that's another weird thing that I do spend a lot of time doing outside of the comedy thing, mate. Just recording beats and I guess mostly for myself because I don't really release it. I just like to listen to it back, but maybe one day. So that's something that consumes my time. Other than that, I can't wait to get out and have a few good solid nights out on the piss. I've sort of been a bit of a hermit throughout the whole fucking pandemic. I don't know how everyone's been doing it. If people have been getting a cut and having a few mates around or fucking, you know, a few bongs with the boys here and there or just sinking piss by yourself with your missus or I don't know what everyone's sitch is, but I'm getting itchy feet. Well, I think Newcastle's got a good nightlife. Newcastle's got a real good fucking... You got great beer gardens, great bars, good beers on tap. Good food, good alcohol. You fucking, it's great, man.
Mate, we went out last night, and I'm hungover for the first time in a long time since I was on tour last. So I'm struggling. Yeah. It was a good night. Like, people having a good time. There was some bloke trying to blue everyone, but
was it you?
It was me. Yeah, no, I was swinging bottles around. Yeah. Fucking, do you know who I am? cutting that old classic out. But no, man, Newcastle's a great spot. I highly recommend it to anyone. The good thing about it for me is, you know, I can travel around and do shows or whatever I'm doing, go around, you know, to wherever I happen to be in the world. And I come back here and no one gives a shit about me. It's really,
yeah, it's
really
great, cool. Isn't it?
You know, you go back in your bubble. No one, you know, you're not, if you wear Gucci in the shops here, someone will stab you. Like, it's just like, what the fuck are you doing, mate? Like, no one cares. Yeah. Okay. This is the world that we live in here. It's in a bubble. It's isolated. You can watch the footy. You can relax, enjoy your sports and that, be with your family and, you know, hang out with your dogs and then get, when you leave, the good thing about Newcastle, I drive 40 minutes. I'm at the airport. I can be anywhere in Australia in a matter of hours. And that I'm really lucky with that shit.
Oh, well, that, and the other thing that I find that we got really good is that, and the reason you can live in Newcastle and I can live in Adelaide, because, you know, you would have gone to school with a fucking ton of people who, as soon as they finish, all they were saying is, I can't wait to get to fucking Sydney. I can't wait to go to Brisbane. I can't wait to get to Melbourne. I can't wait to get out of here, right? And that's the same in Adelaide, right? Except what we have as an advantage is our job is literally fucking, you know, we get to go, you know, we're going to Melbourne. We're doing a patch there. We're going to Perth. We're going to London. We're going to fucking Brisbane, you know, fucking Gold Coast, these tropical North Queensland, these holiday destinations. We're just doing it on weekends. So when we come back to these little places, it's not like we need dull. We need just like a little fucking seaside town because, like, we've just been going through a fucking airport 12 days at fucking Melbourne Comedy Festival. Fuck knows what. Like, I need to just put my feet in the couch in this shithole.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I like going to Adelaide too, just to be in that shithole.
Yeah.
I spend too much time on Hindley Street and I just go and hide. But you're right. And I remember when I first started, like 3-4 years ago, doing probably being professional as far as a comedian and traveling all the time. Mate, you get home and that's your holiday, to be home doing nothing.
you know?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's tough to stay on the road all the time. Like, I love it. I'm sure you're pretty similar. I've worked shit jobs, you know. I've dug holes for weeks on end and all that shit, you know. I know what it's like to wake up at 5 a.m. and dread the next 12 hours of work. I'm familiar with that. And that's why I try and work as hard as I can to maintain what I've sort of created here, you know. I don't want to go back to the fucking world that's daunting me and taunting at me from the side.
And you know what? Our secret is out with this next generation in that no one wants to pick up a shovel ever again, motherfucker. Everyone's on, all these kids are on TikTok, make me famous, that like they see this as some easy way out, like it's like easy to them or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think, like what, I guess that was the illusion I was under that got me this far, but like, they can't all fucking do it.
No. But with TikTok, it's different because it's so easy to go viral on TikTok. And as you said, there's just dudes just pulling faces and having poses and shit. Like, I guess that's great. You get a bit of clout. You're 18 years old, 18, 19 years old, and you got a few shirlers chasing you. But what do you do then? Like, how can you make money from that? And I know it's not, you know, polite to say, oh, we need to make money from it. But at the end of the day, if you're going to put all this time into something, it needs to be your job. You need to turn a profit somewhere.
Well, TikTok, even without TikTok in there too, if you just look at social media in general, like YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, whatever the fuck it is, that broad umbrella that we exist in, that we do. If I say I've met like my mates' kids who are sort of like 8, 9, different kids, different ages, you know what they say? They find out I'm on YouTube and they're just obsessed. So they're like, they want to be on, you know, before they even met me, they already wanted to do YouTube. They're fucking like, as I said, they range from ages 6 to 12, the handful of kids. They all fuck, boys and girls, they all fucking want to just do that. None of them are like, I want to be a fireman. None of them.
It's a career choice. But here's the thing, Alex. It's like, when we were kids, and you're a couple of years older than me, when we were kids, we had, you know, the teacher said, I'm sure a teacher said this to you, the job you will work in the future doesn't exist yet.
And
YouTube really didn't. And I always thought, oh, yeah, sure. Like, oh, we're working in some technology company or whatever. No. I am literally, and you are literally living proof that statement is correct.
Yeah, you're right, man. We are pieces of history. Very important pillars.
I agree.
History,
I completely agree. Oh, fucking hell. Mate, I tell you what, I've been in bed all day. That bed behind me, laying there in the bunker, recovering from a filthy hangover. I was doing tequila shots last night. It was a terrible choice. My beard still smells like tequila. I feel like an absolute piece of shit. But it has been a pleasure, young man, to have a chat with you.
Thanks for getting out of bed. Getting your tequila-ridden, fucking hungover ass out of fucking bed for 5 minutes for me, cunt.
And I tell you what, at some point in the future, I don't know when this will happen, but it'll be good to be able to do a show with you. I've just been talking to Frenchie about it. We've been talking about it for years. I don't know if it's going to be like an O-week thing or something like that, or even in the snow, or whether it's in London. I was in London about 6-8 months ago. I'd love to be back over there when all this passes over and get some, we should do like an Aussie show sort of thing.
As soon as you said that, I guess my first thing that came to mind, my first thought that came to mind when you said like this bonanza is like, you know, Glastonbury, like the 2-day fucking big 2-day us on these big fucking stages. We get Frenchie putting flyers in letterboxes all around Australia. Let's get it going, chat. Absolutely, mate. Collaborate on anything whenever you want, mate. If you ever want me to do anything, likewise, I'll send you a script, record a couple lines on your phone. I just do easy fucking as piss things and starting to get back into YouTube a little bit here and there now the pandemic's hit. So, mate, I'll hit you up for sure.
Beautiful. Now, tell me this. How can people find you? Where can they find you on your socials? We'll list all your socials down below, but if someone wants to see everything you do, how can they find you?
Well, I guess the Instagram and YouTube is Shooter Williamson. What else is there? Facebook, Loose Aussie Bloke. I think there's a handle for that Facebook there. And then TikTok's blowing up for me as well with the little kids too. So you can just search Alex Williamson on TikTok. And Twitch is Shooter Williamson is fucking. What are these fucking things? What fucking things are gonna list off now? I had fucking 12 things. Find it, but put them in a little line there.
I'll put them in the lines.
sense of it. I can't make any sense of it. You perhaps can at home. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shooter Williamson, the loosest Aussie bloke, Alex Williamson, thank you very much for joining us on the Butterfield today, mate. You're a gem. It's good to finally have you on the show, brother. I wish you all the very best with your stream as well. It sounds like Twitch is the place where you are going to make the next big impact. You are the trendsetter, my friend.
There we go. Hey, you better get back to bed, mate. Get those days, eh?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, be a good motherfucker. Peace in the Middle East. Me dick stinks. We'll see you all very soon. Toodaloo, wah, wah, wah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.